better in the dark than it does in the light. And truth is a great thing. And I'm so glad to be here. If you have your place, 1 Samuel chapter number 3, we're going to read 10 verses. So if when you find your place, you'll stand. And we'll honor God's word. We'll read these 10 verses, have prayer, and you can be seated. And it's a real joy for me to be here. And I mean that from the depth of my heart. I'm going to lay my phone out where I can sort of keep up with the time. I don't have a watch on me today, but my phone will do just fine. And all right. In 1 Samuel, do good if I get over there. I was in 2 Samuel. That's the way it was when I was in school. I was always either ahead or behind. Very few times was I ahead, just to be honest about it. All right, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 3, where we'll read verses 1 through 10. The Bible said, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days." Boy, it ought to be precious today, shouldn't it? And the Bible said, "There was no open vision. And it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep." Now we see in verse 1, he's a child. And the Bible said that he was laid down to sleep. Verse number 4 said that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I call thee not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel, and Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called Samuel, or had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the good grace of God. Lord, the Bible said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Lord, we thank you, Lord, that it is the grace of God that saves us, and we that are alive today are even alive by your grace. Now, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll guide my words, my thoughts this morning. Lord, let every young person, every adult, Lord, in this assembly this morning, Lord, hear what you're saying. Lord, if I make a mistake, Heavenly Father, Lord, that's just human. But Lord, if they'll listen to you, Lord, you won't make a mistake. Lord, you'll speak to every one of us in a special way this morning. And God, I pray that you would. Or there may be a young man or a young lady here this morning that's never been saved. I pray, dear God, that, Lord, this might be the morning, God, that you'd speak to them. And Heavenly Father, they'd come to understand that they too are a lost sinner. And, Lord, the Bible said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Lord, may it happen just that way this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I appreciate you standing in honor of the Word of God. It always is the right thing to honor God's Word. This book is one among many books that you have in the course of the day and in the course of your lifetime. But this is the book of all books, and I thank God for the Bible. Now, Samuel was a young man. We're not told how old he was, but I believe he's less than 12, if I understand the Bible correctly, for the Jews to call a child, he was 12 years old or under. Once he become 12, then he really was no longer considered a child, but a young man, or if it was in a lady's case, be a young lady. So when the Bible said that Samuel was a child, we can assume probably that he was probably less than 12 years old, maybe somewhere between 7 and 12. Imagine that. I don't know that for sure, but Samuel was a miracle baby because Hannah, his mother, had no children, and she prayed that God would give her a son. And in fact, she prayed so diligently that God would. She made God a promise. She said, "Lord, if you'll let me bear a son, if you'll let me conceive and have a male child," and that was an honor. By the way, it's still an honor for a married young lady to have children. Amen? I tell you, children ought to always be the priority above the career. Amen. Thank God for mothers. Amen. I thank God for mothers. My mother's still alive. She's 90 years old, and I'm not far behind her, but I am some ways behind her. But thank God for mother. But Hannah wanted a son. She didn't just ask for a child. She asked for a male child. She wanted a son. Well, God heard her prayer. She said, "God, if you'll give me a son, when he gets to a certain age, I'll give him back to you." By the way, moms, that's what we ought to do with all of our children. Amen. Or to give them back to the Lord. Amen. They're just lent to us or loaned to us from God. Thank God. I've got three children. My youngest child just turned 42. And I've got some grandchildren, some great-grandchildren, and I've got a grandchild that'll make you an aunt. Yeah, absolutely. My granddaughter is married to Miss McKenzie's brother, and so we've been brother and sister ever since Nicole got saved. And now we're even more related, and I like that. But I've got great-grandchildren, and thank God for children. Love children. But Hannah wanted a child, and she prayed, and she prayed, and finally God answered her prayer. Isn't it a wonderful thing when God answers her prayer? Now, some things just happen. Did you know that? It'd be very easy today to pray for rain, wouldn't it? I mean, I believe I've got enough faith to believe it's going to rain today. I believe it might rain whether I pray for it or not. Amen. But to pray for something that's not happening and to pray for something that hasn't happened and to pray for something and say, "God, I don't want just a child, but I want a boy. I want a little male child." You know, that was an honor in that day to for a wife to present her husband with a male child. That would carry on the name, the family name. Thank God for the family name. That's why we've got little boys coming along. They carry on the name. And so it was an honor. And she felt neglected. She was barren, couldn't have a child. Probably had gone to whatever doctors of her day that she could have went to, and they probably had already told her, "Hannah, you're just barren and you'll probably never have a child." But you see, there are things that when God is factored into the equation, it makes a difference. I'm a different person today because one day God came in my life. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm a whole lot more than I used to be. I'm not even what I'm going to be, but I am what I am by the grace of God. But anyway, she conceived and she had a son. She named him Samuel because God had heard. Anytime you see in the Bible a word that ends with E-L, a name that ends with E-L, at E-L, that's God. So that means heard by God. God had heard her prayer. So she named her son, God heard my prayer. Samuel, that's what that word means. God heard her prayer. Aren't you glad that God hears prayers? It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how old we are, how young we are, whether we're male or female, whether we've got money or don't have money, God hears our prayer. I can assure you, these little kids that come and these teenagers that come to the altar this morning, if you were sincere, God heard your prayer. I'll never forget, I was pastoring over in Powder Springs several years ago, and a little boy come to the altar one night, and he got saved, and a sweet little boy named Matthew, and Matthew got saved, and about another week, here come Matthew right back down to the altar. Boy, he was just crying. And I got down, put my arm around him. I just baptized him the week before. And I said, Matthew, what's wrong? He said, my dog's missing. Boy, his heart was broken. I said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm praying that God would send my dog back home. Well, I thought this is a tough one. But I got down there and we prayed that God would send his dog back home. And about 4 days later, I guess it was, he called me late one evening. He said, preacher, God's heard my prayer. I forgot about the prayer. I'll be honest about it. I forgot. I said, Matthew, what did we pray about? He said, we asked God to send my dog back home. He said, we come in from wherever they'd been, I believe going to get groceries, come in and said, there my dog was, sitting on the carport. I'm telling you, God answers prayer. And your prayers mean something to God. Hannah's prayer meant something to God. She said, God, I want a son. And God gave her a son. She named him Samuel. And so she raised him. She loved him. She nourished him. And she was a mother to him. And she taught him and all that. But the day come when it was time for her to keep her word. You see, when you make a deal with God, God will always keep his part of the bargain, but he wants us to. You ever said, God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. God, if you'll, I don't know about you, but there's been times I wanted something from God so much. I said, Lord, if you'll do this for me, I'll do this for you. Well, God did. Now it's my time. Come Hannah's time to do what she said. So, she gathered up his clothes. She took him down there to the house of God. He said, Eli, he's yours now. Eli was the man of God. We ought to be able to look at the man of God with respect and love and know that we're looking at God's man and ought to treat him as if he was God. Now, I don't mean that he replaces God in our life. He doesn't do that. But we're to have the reverence and the respect for the man of God. Oh, listen, she did. She brought him to, Eli had already raised his family. Eli was an old man. Wife was already out of the picture. He was an old man. But she had made a promise to God. Now come a night when Eli had already gone to bed and Samuel had already gone to bed. And sometime during the still of the night, a voice called Samuel. You can hear that voice saying, Samuel, Samuel. Now, Samuel did what most of us would have done. He realized he and Eli were the only two people in that house. He knew he wasn't calling his own name. So that only left one person that it possibly could be, and that was Eli. So he did what all of us would have done in that case. He run to Eli. Said, what do you want? Well, you called me. What do you want? Eli said, I didn't call you. Now, Eli took him a little bit to figure this thing out. He's old. His natural perception, his eyesight was dim, but his spiritual perception had grown dim too. And that's so sad. See, he said, I didn't call you to go. Maybe he thought, well, he just had a dream. Maybe he thought, well, he just thought he heard somebody. You ever heard something? Come to find out that you didn't hear something, you just thought you did? Well, that probably is what Eli thought about Samuel. He just thought he heard somebody call him because he knew he didn't call. See, Eli's doing the same thing Samuel did. Samuel thought there's only two people. I'm one. Eli's the other, so it had to be Eli. Eli said, there's nobody here that would have called you but me, and I didn't call you, so go lay down. Three times. Now, most of us reading the story, looking back, would think, man, I believe I'd have figured it out before the third time. But you see, when you live something, it's much different than when you read something. So Eli is thinking, well, this child's just mixed up. I don't know how long he'd been there. We're not told. Maybe he'd been there a week, maybe a month. He may have been there a year. All we know is that he heard a voice and he called him by his name. So he goes lay back down and almost asleep again. And guess what happens? That same voice said, Samuel? Samuel? He goes back. He said, I know I heard a voice this time. I'm not hearing voices. I'm not hearing strange things. I know I heard you call me. And Eli said, well, I know I didn't call you. Go lay back down. Probably a little bit aggravated. You know, we get that way. We get old, we get grumpy. When I get old, I'm going to get grumpy. But I ain't got there yet. So I'm going to stay sweet until then. The third time, he's gone to bed. He's laying there with anticipation. He's waiting for that voice. I can hear him. As the voice, I can see him as the voice called, Eli, Samuel, Samuel. And this time, there's no mistake. He heard a voice and he said, you did call me. I heard you. Now he's saying, hey, I know for a fact I heard a voice. Now, Samuel's very emphatic. He heard something. Eli, very emphatic. He didn't say anything. So that leaves another possibility. Eli said, could it be? In his mind, could it be that maybe the Lord's calling at such a tender age? Such a young... You know what Jesus said about children? Suffer little children. Now, a child is one thing, but when the Bible said little children, you know what God's saying right there? You know what the Lord said? As young as you can get them. Amen. I'm going to be honest. If there's a two-year-old walk down the aisle Sunday morning in diapers wanting to get saved, hey, I believe the Lord can do that. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen, but I'm saying the Lord can do that. Jesus said, suffer or allow little children to come unto me and forbid them not. For of such is the kingdom of heaven. Samuel said, Eli said to Samuel, said, go back to bed. But he wasn't as harsh with him. He said, if you hear that voice again, oh, how important it is to hear the voice of God. You know what one writer said about the voice of the Lord? Said, never man spake like this man. I remember as a little 11-year-old boy in Post Oak Baptist Church over in Powder Springs, Georgia, sitting on the left side of the second pew right next to my mama. I remember what the Lord called my name. I didn't hear him here. I heard him here. No, I'll tell you, it's good to be able to hear with these ears, and I got big ones. But I'm going to tell you, when you can hear the voice of God, when it speaks down here, you can say, I've heard something. Samuel went and laid back down. He ain't going to sleep this time. I don't think. We're not told whether he did or not, but I see Samuel, he's waiting. He's finally understood now who it is that's calling him. He thought it was Eli. Eli knew it wasn't, but he didn't know what it was. But finally Eli perceived that it could be. The Lord said, if that happens again, said, you say, Lord, you go ahead and speak. I'm listening. That's the greatest answer you'll ever give to God. Lord, I hear you. The Bible said one time, told Isaiah to go to a certain place, said they have ears to hear, but they're not going to hear. They've got eyes to see, but they're not going to see. Isn't that sad? We're living in a world today where people have ears to hear, and they're hearing a lot of things, but they're not hearing the voice of God. Many years ago, I was coming home from work. I was pastoring a church over in, well, at that time, Powder Springs, Georgia. I was pastoring this church, and I was coming home from work about mid-afternoon, and I had the radio on. I don't even know what I had on. I'll be honest about it. More likely, it was a talk station. And when I listen to radio, I listen. I had it pretty loud. I mean, you know, when my wife's not in there, I cut that volume up. I didn't have boom boxes like y'all have today, or I'd have been booming, booming, booming. But I was listening. There was a church on the right-hand side, Mount Zion Baptist Church. Only been in that church one time in my life. But on their sign, it said, if you can't hear the voice of God, cut down the volume of the world. God convicted me. I cut that radio off. I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. And God began to speak to my heart about some things. Samuel waited. He had heard the voice three times, but now he's wanting to hear it. He had heard that voice, and he didn't recognize it, but now he knows who it is. Samuel? Samuel! Lord, you go ahead and speak. I hear you. What? Here's the message. How will you respond to the call of God? Because you're going to get a call. Amen? It won't be on one of these. Probably most of you have one. Probably better not have it here, probably, but that was one of the hardest things when we had our school was keep phones, keep kids from phones. And I started collecting them during the day. I'd collect, put them in my drawer, give them back to the kids at night. But God, when God calls, it won't be on a cell phone. You're not going to have a God app on your smartphone or on your tablet. You're not. When God calls, God don't need a cell phone. God doesn't need all this technology that we're so fascinated by. God was sending calls without telephones long before Alexander Graham Bell, and you probably don't even know who that is, but he invented the telephone. God already had a way of talking directly to a person. So God began to relay to Samuel that night what he was going to do. Do you know God's got a purpose for your life? Every person here, from the smallest of the children back here to the oldest of the adults, and that gets me and Brother Wyatt. God has a purpose for your life. And if you're not fulfilling that purpose, it really doesn't matter what you're doing, because it won't mean a thing in eternity. President Obama, he's president, second term. Not every president gets elected a second term. But I'll tell you, one day he'll stand before God. And if that wasn't God's purpose for his life, I don't know what God's purpose for President Obama is, but I'm just saying, if that wasn't his purpose, He can stand and tell God all day long, well, I was the president of the United States. It's not going to be, you're not going to impress God with what you do. Oh, no. God is not impressed. God's not overwhelmed. God's not taken back because you accomplished something. But if you will do the will of God, then God will take notice of what you've done. But he called. How will you respond to the call of God? That's the question today. Adam got a call from God one day. You know what he did? He went and hid. The Bible said the voice of the Lord came walking in the cool of the day, and he cried out, Adam, where art thou? Now, God didn't ask Adam where he was because God didn't know. God wanted Adam to realize where he was. Do you know you can be somewhere and not realize just where you are? He said, Lord, I'm hid among the trees. God knew then. God knew already, but God knew that Adam knew that he was out of the will of God. How are you going to respond to the call of God? In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, the Bible said, in the year King Uzziah died, Isaiah said, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And he goes on to describe a little bit of what he saw in that vision. And finally he heard a voice, and it said, who shall I send, and who will go for me? You know what Isaiah did? He said, here am I, Lord. Send me. How will you respond? If God were to call you this morning, I don't know what your name is, my name's Johnny. If God were to call you by name, you knew it was God, how would you respond? Adam knew it was God, but he hid. Isaiah knew it was God, and he said, here am I, send me. The Bible said the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that wicked city. You know what the Bible said that Jonah did? He rose up, went down to the place where you get on a boat, and bought a ticket going the opposite way from where God had sent. Some of you have done that. Some of you have bought that ticket, and you're going the opposite way from where God wants you. How are you going to respond to the call of God? There were some fishermen one day. They were just mending their nets. Two of them were brothers. One of them just worked with them. Peter, James, and John. Jesus come by one day and said, follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. They left it. Everything they had, they left, and they followed the Lord. Matthew was a tax collector. Nobody likes tax collectors. But Matthew was a tax collector, doing his job very effectively, very efficiently, doing exactly what he was hired to do and trained to do. But one day Jesus came and said, follow me. And the Bible said immediately, he arose and followed the Lord. What about you? How are you going to respond when God calls? Mary, over in the book of John, I believe it is, chapter number 11. Martha and Mary had sent for Jesus. Lazarus was dying. We all know the story how Jesus didn't get there when they thought he should, but he got there on time. Martha ran out to meet Jesus, which was very rare because Martha was usually the one busy doing other things. But Martha ran out to meet him, and Jesus said, where's Mary? You know what Martha did? She ran to the house. She opened the door and she walked in. She said, Mary, the master's come, and he calleth for thee. You know what Mary did? She didn't say, let me clean up, fix up. Let me get my clothes just right. The Bible said she She went to where the Lord was, and when she saw him, she fell on her feet, or fell on her knees, and called on his name. How will you respond? You going to respond as Adam did and try to hide? Christian school's a good place to hide. Do you know that? You'd be surprised at the kids that hide in Christian school just trying to fit in and blend in. They're not in, but they're trying to look like they're in. They really are. See, once you put on, you boys, once you put on those snappy-looking blue shirts and that red tie and those dark trousers, you ladies, when you put on that blouse and that skirt or that jumper, you look just like all the other kids. But you see, God knows who you are, where you are, what you are, how you are. God knows all that. You know, when God is introduced to somebody, he introduces himself. He don't have to be introduced. He can introduce himself. This is God. But we try to hide, and that's what some of you are doing this morning. You think you're well hid. Nobody sees me. I'm just another kid down at Holy Ground. I cut my hair because they make me. I wear this tie because it's part of what we do. But in your heart, you're not part of Holy Ground. You're not part of what's going on. Some of you probably have already purposed in your heart, oh, when I get out of here, you'll not even get me back in church again. You know why I know that? I've been there. Been there, done that. My dad was a preacher. Well, I thought, Nicole, if I could just ever get out of this old preacher's house. I love my dad, don't misunderstand. But I didn't love the fact he was a preacher. Not until I got saved. Then, guess what? I wanted to be like daddy. When I got saved, it didn't bother me not to wear jeans to church. It didn't bother me to put on a tie. It didn't bother me what kind of haircut I had. And I did have hair. Not then. It didn't bother me. But oh, before I responded to the call of God, it bothered me. So how are you going to respond? You're going to respond like Adam and hide? You going to respond like Jonah and run the other way? You could respond like Isaiah and said, Lord, send me. You ever been in class where one kid always raises his hand, wants to be the one that answers the question? And what the teacher's trying to do is get others to respond, but you're willing just to let that other kid raise his hand. Let him answer it. Because you probably don't know the answer anyway. Isaiah was that kid. God said, who's going? I'll go. Let me go. Lord, I want to go for you. I'm going to tell you, one day you will want to go. But you may not be called to go then. I was called to preach when I was 16. Preached my first time when I was 16 years old. I didn't preach after that for a while. But when I got 22 years old, God met me head on and said, this is what I want you to do. Will you do it? And I said, Lord, I'll do it. And I've been trying to do it ever since. But I'll never forget. My dad was my pastor. He said, I'm going to put my son up here, and I want you to come around. If you're going to pray for my son, he's going to preach. If you're going to pray for me, I've been where my dad was because my son's preaching. And he said, if you're going to pray for my son, I want you to come around and shake hands with him. And wasn't this big a crowd, but probably about 50 people there. They all come. But I watched. There was a guy named Finley Smith. He was a painter by trade. He was in his 80s, and I watched him get up out of his seat. He was the last one to get there. And just as he got my hand, he broke down and cried. He said, when I was your age, God called me to do what you've agreed to do, but I didn't agree to do it. He said, I told God no. Said God many times since then. He said, Finley, his name is Finley Smith. He said, Finley, I want you to preach. And Finley'd always say, "No, Lord, get somebody else. Get somebody else." All of his life, 80-something years old now. He's an old man. And you know what Finley wants to do? He wants to preach. But you see, Finley's on oxygen now. He can't. He has to walk with a cane now. He can't even hardly walk. He said, "I'd give anything if I'd have responded the way you respond." How are you going to respond to the call of God? When God calls you, how are you going to respond? And He will call you. Oh, you mark her down. I'm going to give you three calls you're going to get from God. Right quickly. Let me look and see what time it is. You're going to get three calls from God. You're going to get one call from God, and how you respond is going to determine the other two. Number one, you are going to get a call to salvation. That's the first call you'll get from God. Is the call. That's what these men were getting was a call. Jonah had already accepted that call. He was a preacher. But he responded wrong. But you're going to get a call to salvation somewhere in your lifetime. There's going to be a light shining in your life. There's going to be a preacher preach to you. There's going to be a teacher teach to you. There's going to be somebody to witness to you. But you're going to come face to face, and you're going to have a confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. How are you going to respond? You're going to respond in the affirmative? You're going to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening. Go ahead and tell me what it is you want." Or are you going to say, "No, I'm just not ready right now"? Now, it is a possibility if you say no to God, you'll get another chance. But it is a possibility if you say no to God, you won't ever get another chance. By the way, I don't want to get into doctrine because you can mess up because you're not sure. But I'm going to tell you, God is not required to call anybody, ever. I'm going to say something. You may disagree with it. If you do, that's fine. We'll talk after church. That's perfectly all right. But there's going to be people that live and die that'll never hear a gospel preacher, never see a Bible, never hear the word Jesus. You ought to thank God if you decide you want to die without God, live without God, be without God. You ought to thank God this morning that God allowed you to be a part of a church, to be a part of a school, to be part of a nation that still believes in God, where you have the opportunity to say, "Yes, Lord, I'm listening." Whether you respond in the affirmative or not, you ought to thank God because there's people in other countries that have lived and died and never had this opportunity. Never have. Never have. You say, then God's not just. God is just. I read a story a long time ago of a young man. He lived in Africa, and they were cannibals. They hunted down people, other peoples, not of their tribe. They would kill them. They would shrink their heads and eat their bodies. That's just what they done. That's how they lived. It sounds gross and horrible, and it is gross and horrible. But that's how they did. Nobody had ever told him about Jesus. Nobody had ever told him about the Bible. Nobody had ever told him about morality or being good or bad. He just knew at a certain age he was required to go out and kill somebody, bring that somebody home. They would boil that flesh and eat it, and then shrink that head and hang it on a totem pole. This young man that later become a Christian, this young man that later become a missionary to his own people, said that he got this guy and he pulled this stone and was just fixing to bash his head in. Something smote his heart and said, "That's wrong." He didn't know who it was. He didn't know what it was. All he knew, something had spoken to him on his inside and said, "That is wrong." And he couldn't do it. And he was banished from his tribe and had to go live among people that he didn't even know. Then one day a missionary came. And he heard the missionary tell him about Jesus Christ, and he knew then that that was God speaking to him, saying that was wrong. And he got saved, and he later, in later years, become a missionary to his own people. But he responded to the call of God that day when God said, don't do that. You ever had God tell you not to do something? Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't wear that. Don't say that. You ever had God do that? Oh, I'm not talking about audibly. Thank God for parents that tell us, no, you can't do this. No, you can't do that. No, I won't let you go here. No, I'm not going to allow you to wear that. Thank God for parents that do that. But I want to tell you, there's a God that'll speak to your heart. And when mom and dad's not around, and when that teacher's not around, when that preacher's not there, and you're out somewhere and you go to do wrong, that voice is going to speak to you down in the depth of your heart and say, that's wrong, that's wrong. And how you respond to that may even determine if God ever deals with your heart again. Because that is the light that shined in the darkness. How are you going to respond when God calls you to salvation? You know what the Bible said? Whosoever. We don't use that word anymore. We use the word whoever. But it, whosoever will. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, God made inclusive, shall call, God made it easy. Upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God made it sure. Those three things. So you're going to get a call, number one, to salvation. Now some of you have accepted that call. I'm not going to ask you how many is saved and how many is lost. I wouldn't do that and embarrass anybody. But if you're saved, you wouldn't mind raising your hand. If you were unsaved, you wouldn't mind being singled out, so I wouldn't do that. But I'm going to say this. You that have accepted the call to salvation, you're going to get another call. Probably some of you already have, and that's the call to serve. I'm going to tell you, what they say this morning, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you land. Serve the Lord with gladness. Joshua said, it's for me and my house. We'll serve the Lord. What about you? When you get that call to serve God, are you going to take it? That you're saved. You're going to heaven, that's guaranteed. But are you going to serve God? My mom is 90 years old. She's maybe that high. Mama would try to get me to do some things when I was small, and if I could get out of it, I would. But you know what I'd do today? If I had a chance to serve my mom today, there ain't nothing. I know that's not good English. For you school folks, that's all of, there isn't anything that I wouldn't do for my mom. Not a thing. I'd gladly serve her. But see, there's not much I can do for her now. But when I could, a lot of times I wouldn't. We're that way about God. You'll get old one day. Little old girl. She's real frail. She's sickly. Her daddy played the guitar and her mama sang, but one day that little girl got up and sang a song. I'll never forget. I wish I could remember the whole song, but here's what she said in her song. Someday I will be strong enough to make the church bells ring. And when my voice grows steady, I'll help the choir sing. The song went on. I can't remember all the words, but it said in the end of the song, Lord, I can't do very much, but God, I'll do my best. That's what God wants from you. That's what God wants. He wants your best. You know why? Because he give you his best. So you're going to get a call to service. Every person that responds in the affirmative to that call for salvation is going to get a call to service. Last of all, for that person that takes the call to salvation and said, here am I, speak, Lord, I'm listening. That person that gets the call to service and says, Lord, here am I, I'll do whatever, send me. It's a good possibility they're going to get even a special call to do something special. I'm going to tell you, that call to do something special, that is such a good call. I wanted to sing. I wish I could sing. I still want to sing. 67 years old, still want to sing. I wanted to sing. I said, Lord, I can't be a preacher. They're fat and bald-headed. And God did his part. But I didn't want to be a preacher. Most of them, seriously, fat, bald-headed, and cried a lot. Lord, I didn't want to do that. I could handle the fat part, but it's that bald-headedness I didn't want. Lord, I combed my hair over this way, and combed it up this way and everything, till finally one day I admitted I was bald-headed. And now hair's one of the most overrated things there are. But I got a special call from God to do something. And I'll never forget when I finally yielded myself and said, Lord, I'll do it. If the pianists come around, we'll give an invitation. The question is how are you going to respond? Just how are you going to respond? It may be right now. Nobody hears. Samuel never heard the voice of God when he spoke to Eli. Never heard the voice of God when he spoke to Samuel. Never one time did. You ever stood beside somebody or maybe crossed the aisle from somebody and all of a sudden they broke down, started crying, made their way up to an altar and you think, I didn't hear anything. God wasn't speaking to you. It's just like your phone when you get a call. I don't hear it. I may hear the ringer. If you got it on, I may hear the sound. I may hear the music, whatever your ringtone is. I may hear that, but I don't hear that message. You know why? Because it's not to me. But there are some of you that's heard the message this morning. It was to you. And it is to you. And what you do with it. Young ladies, God's going to need missionary. God's going to need missionary wives. God's going to need preacher wives, evangelist wives. God's going to need young ladies to devote themselves to God and to become teachers and educators. God's got to work. Some of you young men, God's going to call you to preach one day. Wouldn't you like to respond? Wouldn't you like to be that person that said, yes, Lord, I'll do it? Or are you going to be like Adam, try to hide? While we stand, the invitation's given. If God's speaking to your heart this morning, if he's calling you, and you need to be saved. You can be saved this morning. I was under the mistaken idea that I had to believe and understand the Bible to get saved, but that's not true. What I had to understand was I was a lost sinner. Jesus Christ died for my sin, paid my sin debt, and all I had to do was say, yes, Lord, I accept what you've offered. If you'll do that this morning, you need to come. You're unsaved. God's calling you. Why don't you just come on down?